Welcome to the Hawley Baptist Church podcast, connecting you to a community in which everyone is welcome, lives are changing, and Jesus is King. Thanks for joining us today. You can subscribe to keep up to date with us. Did you know you can also join our service each Sunday via a live online meeting? Please get in touch to find out more about that. But for now, we pray you enjoy what God has in store for you in this episode and that it helps change your life for the better. In Jesus' name, welcome.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. My name's Daz, and
I'm Angie. Nice to have you here with us.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Yeah, I love doing these. I haven't done one for ages.
Well, you don't get a chance to do it very often because you're always doing other things, preaching, leading services, doing children's work. Yeah. So it's good. It's very honoured to have Daz with us today.
Absolutely true. Yeah, and I'm grateful to be here.
Well, nice to have you. So today, Daz, we are finishing the Ephesians series.
5-week series you've done. I think it's been a good one.
I think it's been good, and you've preached two of them.
Two of them, last week's one and the week before, I think.
Last week was excellent. We got home after the service and my husband and I were trying to remember what you said. And we remembered the ASDA uniform bit. But that was a really good, if you didn't hear last week's, go back and find it on your podcast or YouTube.
Hear all about young dads and his ASDA uniform, skateboarding to work.
Yeah, not on image. Yeah, but you were talking about how, you know, your uniform could get grubby and you could not notice, and we could not notice in our lives that we've got a bit, you know, that we need to change it up. And
it does happen.
It was good, yeah. So this week's
message is the last one, and it's a lot of talk for spiritual warfare, and the title is about the invisible battle. It's Martin this week, sorry.
It sounds a little bit Lord of the Ringsy, doesn't it? The invisible battle.
Yes, yeah,
a bit
Star
Wars.
Oh, that makes it sound probably way cooler than this. But I think it's a good one. And spiritual warfare is something I don't really like think very much about, because it's a bit weird, isn't it? A bit freaky, and because it's invisible, it's just I don't know.
And
it's quite different than other.
And it's other, and it's a bit scary, maybe. Yeah. And you can sort of think, if I can just forget about it, maybe it won't
affect me.
Yeah.
But it just can't be true, can it? But.
No. So if we see what Martin's got to say.
That'd be good.
Let's do that.
Let's go.
Always been a bit of a war buff. Maybe it came from having two granddads who served in the Second World War. And I've loved reading stories of bravery, sacrifice, and heroes who risked their lives to stand up to evil. But it wasn't until I became a church leader that I really woke up to the reality of spiritual warfare. Not just physical battles from the past, but a present and invisible one happening around us every day. Now, I suppose the knowledge, well, it had always been there. I was raised in a conservative Baptist church, so the idea of spiritual opposition, it wasn't new, but it wasn't something we talked about much. If anything, it was quietly pushed under the carpet, often with health warnings attached. Add to that a few childhood horror films, and I'd become quietly terrified of anything supernatural. I knew about Satan, sure, but I preferred to focus on God's love and leave the scary stuff alone. But all that changed when I started leading a church. I became part of a group that helped to equip church leaders to engage with the spiritual realities of life. And through that, I became aware of a battle I'd previously ignored. A battle not of flesh and blood, but a spiritual one. I started to notice patterns, how Satan seemed to hold people in bondage, how lies shaped their decisions, and how demonic forces often pushed back. Just as our church began to move forward in mission, my eyes were opened, and if I'm honest, I was scared. It's still tempting sometimes to bury my head in the sand, to pretend all this talk of spiritual warfare, well, it's just a bit dramatic. But the truth is, we're not living on a playground, we're living on a battleground. And ignoring it doesn't make it go away. I mean, do you ever feel the temptation? To close your eyes, to take the easy route, to ignore the fight. this final part of our series, Beyond Religion, what Christianity is really about, we come to the last chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And if you've been following along, you'll know this letter isn't just an ancient document. It's a survival guide. It's a letter full of encouragement, instruction, and truth, not just for first century believers in Ephesus, but for us in 21st century Britain too. We've spent 4 weeks peeling back the layers of what Christianity is really about, not religion for religion's sake, but something far deeper. Relationship, transformation, identity, purpose. In week one, we began with the staggering truth that we are not accidents or afterthoughts. We've been chosen by God to be part of his eternal story. A story that stretches from before time to eternity. In week two, we looked at how we are heading the wrong way, shaped by the lies of the world. But God, rich in mercy, stepped in. He made us alive in Christ and set us on a new path. Not because we've earned it, but because of grace. In week three, Daz reminded us that Christianity is about breaking barriers. In a divided world, Jesus creates a new community, one that unites people across every human divide, built on grace and truth. And in week four, we saw how this new life calls us to live differently. Not out of religious obligation, but as a reflection of who we are now in Jesus. We were challenged to live lives that stand out, even when the world pulls in the other direction. And now, in chapter 6, Paul draws all this together with a final charge. Stand firm. Because the moment you say yes to Jesus, you step into a battle, a spiritual one. For those early Christians in Ephesus, the battle was tangible. Choosing Jesus meant rejecting the familiar gods of their city. It meant turning their backs on idol worship, on social norms, on the pursuit of wealth, sex, and power. And it came at a cost: rejection, isolation, even persecution. Today, the scenery has changed, but the battle hasn't. The lies are still whispered through media, culture, advertising, and sometimes even through our own thoughts. Lies that say God is a killjoy, that is holding us back, that real purpose is found elsewhere, in success, in relationships, in self-expression, in anything but him. Do you feel that, Paul? That quiet but constant temptation to think like everyone else. To live an easier life, to believe the lie, to conform. See, Paul knows this temptation. He knows how fierce the battle is, and that's why he writes these words. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Paul doesn't say try your best. He says, be strong, not in yourself, but in the Lord. This isn't a pep talk about digging into your own reserves. It's a reminder that God supplies the strength and the armor. Because the battle isn't a physical one. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, Paul writes, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. In other words, your neighbor isn't your enemy. Your colleague isn't your enemy. That family member who frustrates you isn't your enemy. There are darker, more powerful forces at play. And we need a very different kind of defense. So Paul says, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And then he paints a picture, a Roman soldier, fully armored, prepared for whatever comes. Stand firm, then, Paul says, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. The belt was what held everything together. And for us, that's truth, God's truth. the truth about who he is and who we are in him. It holds our lives in place. It keeps us grounded. Then comes a breastplate of righteousness, guarding your heart, not your own righteousness, but the righteousness given to you through Jesus. You are right with God because of him. And that truth guards you from shame, guilt, and condemnation. Your feet, Paul says, should be fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Roman soldiers wore studded sandals for grip and mobility. And for us, the gospel gives us a firm footing. It keeps us steady, ready to move, to speak, to love. Next, take up the shield of faith. In ancient battle, shield protected soldiers from flaming arrows, and we still face those arrows: doubt, discouragement, temptation, fear. Faith acts as a shield, reminding us who God is and what he's promised. Then there's a helmet of salvation, protecting your mind, your thoughts, your identity. It's knowing that whatever else changes, you are saved, you are secure. You belong to him. And finally, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the one offensive weapon, not to attack people, but to stand against lies, to speak truth when you're tempted, to push back when Satan twists scripture, like he did in the wilderness with Jesus. And then Paul adds one more essential element: prayer. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. We can't fight this battle alone. Prayer is our lifeline. It's how we stay connected to God and to each other. It's how we receive strength, wisdom, and guidance. It's how we stand firm, and it's how we move forwards. And don't miss Paul's vulnerability here. He says, pray also for me that I will declare the gospel fearlessly. This is Paul, the apostle, the missionary, the prisoner, asking for courage. If he needed prayer, well, so do we. The Christian life is not easy, but you haven't been left to fight alone. You've been chosen. You've been made alive in Christ. You've been included in God's family. You've been called to live differently. And now in chapter 6, you are equipped for battle. So when the lies come, when the pressure builds up, when you feel like giving up, stand firm. Not in your own strength, but in his. Not because you're fearless, but because you're protected. And not to win victory, but because in Jesus, the victory is already yours. Does the idea of spiritual warfare put you off or draw you to a faith in Jesus? Where have you seen God's protection in a difficult situation? Are you in need of it now? Is prayer a vital part of your life, or an afterthought or add-on? How can you develop a habit of prayer?
Oh,
it's good.
Good, yeah.
Yeah.
Although, like, every time someone talks about spiritual warfare, I think, because I think, like, oh, it's just something I should engage with. Like, it's, I believe it's, like, real, but I just don't know what to make of it. And I think the question was about, does it put me off? I don't think it puts me off faith in Jesus, but it does. I try not to think too much about it.
I know. I think I'm the same. Martin said it was a bit scary, and I feel a bit in the sort of the scary category. It feels like it was a scary thing, but it shouldn't be. But there is also the other side of it. I think what I do is I think, well, God's bigger than all of it, and I just trust God to be in control of it, really. And Jesus has won the battle, and I don't need to worry. But that's probably also, I've probably gone too far. I think some people, can I say, some people love spiritual warfare. I don't mean that, but I think they.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
They really get it. They engage with it. It's a really fundamental part of their life, and that's really good. That's not me, and I'm probably a bit too far the other way. I just sort of think it'll be okay.
That's, in my experience, quite normal because I'm probably exactly the same. I don't feel like it's something I feel very equipped to like talk about in a real way, but it is. It does. I think the idea that Jesus is more powerful than everything else draws me towards him and draws me towards faith in Jesus.
Yes.
And so I think in my head, it's not something I need to be afraid of or worried about too much. So therefore, I don't worry about it at all. And then maybe that's not the right balance to strike is what I'm aware of. Like, I think after listening to that, thinking like, yeah, I definitely need to be more aware of this as a thing that's going on.
I think you're right, and I think when Martin says something about the, you know, your battle's not with your enemy, you know, or not with your neighbour.
Yeah, that was good.
It's not with your work colleague, you know. Our battle is not flesh and blood, as the expression goes. Yeah. You know, it's with principalities and this, you know. And when someone is dogging us, or really, you know, it may well be that that's a spiritual battle that's going on.
Yeah, and it's not them. We feel like. Because it can, I think I've had people in my life who really have like felt like they're going at me, and I think like, wow, you really don't like me, or you really just hate Christianity so much that you're like, feels like it's me against them, or they're like my enemy. But what I need to think now is I know it's behind them is like Satan or one of his demons in their ear, like trying to spread these lies or that just really undo the work that God and Jesus are trying to do in the world. And it's a really helpful reminder that is probably going on sometimes, and I need to be aware of that at least, and then like praying into that, because I'm a firm believer the devil can't like hear our thoughts. Like, I think he puts things in our mind and whispers in our ears, but so it, and I often tell people it's good to pray out loud, because otherwise the devil can't hear your prayers.
So I've never thought about that before.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah,
oh cool, no, that's, and yeah, absolutely,
yeah, that's fine. I think that's an important part of praying out loud. It's encouraging because, well, it's also discouraging for me for the devil.
Yeah, oh, that's really cool. I'd never thought of that before. No. We're not very good at praying out loud, are we? Yeah. And we're all quite good at putting on a different voice when we do.
Oh, well, I like to listen to people when they pray. You think, well, that's really funny. You've now become very, very formal.
yeah. And I remember years and years and years ago when I was on, you know, I remember Doug Hawley, who wrote lots of the kids' songs.
Yes.
And he came to HBC once and he did a praise party.
Cool.
And he was praying and he said something, I know the expression he used, I can't remember the context. He said something like, "And God, we know it blesses your socks off when we worship you."
Yeah.
And as he said it, I remember I'm thinking, oh, really? Because that was like a completely alien way to how I was
thinking.
Yeah, can you say that? And I was like, actually, you're absolutely right, you can. And I think, you know, certainly when I'm praying internally, I'm much more using normal words. But I think even if I'm praying out loud on my own, which I don't do very often, but I do occasionally, I think even then I can find myself getting more formal when using this sort of, I don't think it matters, but we don't need to do that.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. And I think we can, I don't know if I should tell this story or not, but I do all the stuff for kids at our church, and sometimes I help with the youth group. And I remember going to there once and we're talking about prayer and talking about prayer. And I can be, I don't know, I think I'm pretty consistent when I talk to everybody in the same way. And I remember saying to them, like, when we pray, if we're really angry, like, could we swear with God? And they looked at me like, we probably shouldn't. And I was like, we probably shouldn't, I agree. Mm-hmm. But, like, do you think God would hear that prayer? And they just couldn't, like, engage with that question at all. No. It's too much. Like, I was like, I think, like we shouldn't, but I think we could. And I think God would hear that prayer. And I think he wants us to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't recommend swearing at God.
But that's really interesting because we think we talk differently to God.
I think we do, and I think that's.
And there's plenty of examples, aren't there, in the Bible of people shouting at God and
Read the Psalms, like, it's always like, this has happened, but then they come back at the end to like, but you are good, and you are good, and you've done this in the past, and I think.
Yeah, and thinking of our spiritual warfare, and then we come back and say, "But no, God, you are greater than it. You know, you are better than it. You have defeated it. you've defeated death and sin, and you know. I like the illustration of the armour of God. I'm sure
it's so helpful. Isn't
so
it?
If you've been brought up in church, you'll have grown up with that illustration, won't you?
I'm sure there's a song, isn't there, about?
Yeah, put on the whole. I'm not going to sing it. That you may stand against the devil and his ways, wiles. I don't know. Anyway,
nice.
Yeah, there was a whole song. I'm not singing it. But I like the idea that Martin was saying that about the belt of truth, and that sort of holds it all together. So, you know, you're talking about, you know, wisdom and truth and peace and whatever else. But actually, if you've got God's truth holding it all together.
Yeah. Someone once told me, if you wear the belt of truth, you will never be caught with your trousers down, something like that, which I think is great. And I think you can, if you make sure you're semi-regularly engaging with God's word and reading it and understanding it and knowing it, and if you can, like, memorizing just little bits, then when the things happen that you're not, you know, you don't see coming in life, you'll be ready to like think, like it feels like this is awful, like where is God? And you think, oh no, like he promised this, he promised that, and it can help us not to be caught with our trousers down.
That's fantastic. Oh, that's really good. That's to take home. Last week it was Asda's, you know.
As the uniforms
this week, it's, you know, your trousers then.
Don't be caught with your trousers then.
But it's true, isn't it? And truth is tricky. Truth is tricky, you know, what is truth
really
and all
tricky.
That sort of stuff, you know. And I think these days it's really hard to sometimes to know what is truth, you know. You know, you read one news outlet and you read another one and, well, what's the truth in there? Or, you know, something's AI or it's not. Or you're talking to... And I'm not sure what truth is anymore, but, you know, but when we're talking about big truths, you know, at least we can always come back to God and know that, you know, he is true.
Yeah.
And what he says is true.
We did a conference, didn't we, recently. And you were, I think you were there, but we went to it anyway. There was a like a talk there about truth and about reframing truth or something. It's called that. And it's actually our old colleague Becky was doing it, delivering the talk, and she talked about the fact that there are truth, like things are true, and something like the fact that God is good is true, and it's true because no matter how we feel and no matter what's happening in our lives, that is still true. And I think that's really useful in thinking about what's truth. Because I think her point was about the fact that there's lots of things we have in our life that the beliefs we have that are just based on what people have taught us and what have you. And it might be true about spiritual warfare. There might be a specific way we believe it should be done because that's where we've been shown. But ultimately what's true is that Jesus is more powerful than anything. Mm-hmm. The devil, any demons, all the plans we have, like he's above and over all that stuff. So no matter how we feel about spiritual warfare, whether or not it should be done or how it should be done, the fact that Jesus is bigger than everything is not going away. That can never be not true.
No, I agree. And I think, although it sounds quite simplistic, I think that's the truth you need to hold on to, isn't it? And if we're feeling that spiritual warfare is confusing or scary or any of those things, just holding on to the fact that, you know, Jesus is greater.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus has defeated death. You know, he's the winner.
Yeah.
I think you just hold on to that simple truth. Profound truth, really. In some ways, it's sort of, it's massive and huge, isn't it? Although it sounds so simple.
It is. I think what's good about it is it can remove the fear element, because we might think like, oh my goodness, I need to spend every hour of the day now praying about all these demons that are going to be doing X, Y, and Z. But I think, I know we can pray in confidence that Jesus is bigger than all the things. We need to be aware of it. I think that's my takeaway. It's like, I need to be more aware of the spiritual element to things that are happening in my life. And I need to set aside moments to pray about those things, but I don't need to fret and worry that if I don't say a prayer, then the demons are going to get me, because they can't necessarily touch me with a barge pole. But
I think
they're trying to do whatever they can.
I think you're right. Interesting about prayer, because prayer was the last question was, is prayer a vital part of your life or an afterthought, an add-on? How can you develop a habit of prayer?
That's tricky.
It's tricky.
Do you pray like regularly in a set way or not?
No, probably not. I think I've probably changed as I've got older.
Yeah.
I would like to think it'd be easier now, but it's I'm not very good at having a set time of day to pray.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm not going to beat myself up about it, but I think that is a good habit to have. Mm-hmm. You know, some people are morning people, aren't they? They get up in the morning and they get their cup of coffee and they sit down with their Bible and they pray. Yeah. Some people, before they go to bed, honestly, it's the best way to get to sleep. You can't sleep, try praying. That's terrible, isn't it? Isn't that terrible? But so for some people, that's the right time of day. Then, you know, might even kneel down on the floor. I've had a phase of doing that. But I my prayers tend to be much more... I think I possibly pray more than I used to.
Yeah.
But I think it's more...
Like little and often.
Little and often.
Yeah, I think that's good. Paul talks in somewhere about praying without ceasing. I was thinking, how's that possible? I think, like, oh, he must just be all the time just, oh, this is happening. Oh, please, God, help us. We're going to go and do this thing now. Or they've heard about someone over there. Like, oh, God be with them. Mm-hmm. And he's just constantly just firing off prayers left, right, and centre as he goes about his life.
Sounds amazing.
So sort of thing, probably the way I pray.
Yeah. Because I was thinking, you said that, because you can do that if you're in a Christian context, can't you? So if you're somewhere like a Christian conference or whatever, you're so sort of, God is so, I'd say you're in the zone, but God is so front and central to all you're doing.
Yeah.
You can actually do that, can't you? But then when you come back and then other things take over, mm-hmm. it's harder to recognise that God is still with you as much in the everyday as he was at the conference, you know. And you can just as easily, when you're struggling with your emails, far off, you know, God knows what you're doing. You can just as easily say,
I should do that when my laptop's being slow. God, please, God, help me to be patient.
Yeah. Or please put my laptop up. So that's the thing, isn't it?
There you go.
So, you pray for your laptop. You never. Yeah.
So I shouldn't pray to be more patient, because then God will give me more opportunities to be patient. What I should pray is He just makes everything happen really fast.
No, that's not how it works.
Okay.
But no habit. So do you have a habit? Habit of prayer.
I don't have a habit of prayer, and I go in and out of trying to create. I love, like, the idea of habit making, and I read a lot about it and do all sorts of things. And apparently, I think at the moment it used to be like 30 days to form a habit, and now I think they say 60 days.
60 days.
So 6 days and you can form a habit. But I think what I found really useful is the idea of, I think it was the Atomic Habits guy talked about habit stacking. So find something you do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I tend to pray the most, I think, around meal times, because it's just a weird habit I've built up, I think, and I try and do it with my daughter, who's like 8. And so when we sit down for a meal, I'll say, oh, look, let's say the prayer, and we'll pray, thank you for the food. But then also, as part of that, I was trying to think about the day that I've had or the day that's coming up, and slot in prayers about that. But that's because we stacked it around the habit of eating food.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sit down for
that's
a meal.
Really good.
And now I think, oh, this is yummy food, and I'm grateful for that, and I need to thank God that I can have this yummy food. And then on part of that, we also add in all the other stuff we could pray
that's
about.
That's great. And you're also developing the habit in your daughter. And
yeah,
showing that's an important part of your life.
Yeah,
we always used to pray at bedtime. I think I've asked this before. So every night, my mum and dad used to come in, we'd say exactly the same prayer every night. Yeah. And sometimes, it's really funny, because sometimes when I get falling asleep, it just pops into my head, if you know what I mean. So
what is that prayer? Can you remember
it? Of course I can. Dear Lord Jesus, please bless mummy and daddy and Christine and Angela, and please keep us safe all through the night. Amen.
That's a good prayer.
Yeah. I used to say it every night. Well, I haven't said it for a little while, though.
That's quite lovely.
It's possible, isn't it?
Oh, my God, that makes me feel better, because I will pray at bedtime as well, and we always say exactly the same prayer. Help us to sleep really well, or, like, heal everybody in the world.
Yeah.
Help everyone to get enough food or something like that, and like, all these, like, really just like cover all things.
Yeah.
We say it every day. I'm glad everyone else is doing that.
Yeah. But that's okay, isn't it? Because you're setting that habit, and you're recognising that, you know, in your everyday life, you should be talking to God and nurturing that relationship. You know, if we've got friends we don't see very often, we don't grow in our relationship with them, do we? If we don't talk to them, if we don't, you know, foster that relationship.
Yeah. And that's what prayer is, isn't it? Ultimately, like, and that's why I've, in my 16 years of being a Christian or something like that, I've really beat myself up about not praying enough. But now I remind myself, God doesn't need me to pray. He really wants me to, in the same way that my dad would love it if I called him just to tell him about my day or talk through the problem I'm facing. And that's what I'm doing when I pray, is just, just dialoguing with God.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to listen, isn't it? I think I struggle with that a lot.
It's
I don't think
to
I really do it, probably, is the problem.
No, I don't know that, because I mean, do you hear God speaking, like, in an audible voice? Some people
I've never had that.
It's quite encouraging, because I never have either, but some people do. Some people hear God speaking.
I think it does happen. But
I definitely think it does.
Yeah.
And I always think that God deals with us all differently. No one can ever say, this is how God speaks to you, because we're all different and God deals with us all differently. But there is about listening, isn't there? You know, you do pray about something that's bothering you or on your mind, and then after you've prayed about it, you do hear God in different ways, through somebody else or through something you read, or something just comes into your mind, or
I think that's,
but it's just looking out for that little voice. It isn't actually a voice, but it's just something inside sometimes.
I think that's how God speaks.
Yeah.
Certainly in my experience. I'll be like at somewhere and I'll see somebody and think like, oh, I suddenly feel like I want to say something to them, and I'll try and say it. I think God is saying, rather than God has said to me.
Yeah.
which is tricky. But prayer is something it is a vital part of my life, but maybe one that I sometimes neglect.
Mm-hmm. I think we would probably all say the same thing in all fairness. Yeah. The good thing is the next sermon series, which starts next week, we are looking at some of these sort of the basics of the Christian walk with God. Yes, so the first one, we're looking at Bible reading. So we're talking about habits around Bible reading.
Great.
And how we can look at our Bible and find that truth and how to make that easier. It's been quite practical, I think.
Great.
And then one of them, I can't remember if it's the second or third, is about prayer. And about how,
and
why we pray and how we can pray and how we can make it easier and, So that's pretty cool. So that fits in quite well following on from this, as if it was planned like that.
Not by us.
Not by us,
maybe God's been involved, which is encouraging.
Maybe he has. Maybe he has. That's good. Right.
We're about done, aren't we?
I think we're about done. I think we've waffled on long enough. I hope you found it helpful and interesting. If you've got any questions, you can email us at gotquestions@hawleybaptist.org.uk.
If you want us to pray for you, you can email us at prayer@hawleybaptist.org.uk.
Yeah, you can do that. If you're looking at this on YouTube, you can please do subscribe, and then you'll find it. Apparently, someone told me you'll find it easier to find our videos.
You can even click the little bell, and then when we release a video, you'll get a notification telling you.
So cool!
So hit the bell icon as well.
And if you're listening to us on a podcast, you can subscribe to our podcast.
Yeah.
And if you're watching, you could try listening. And if you're listening, you could try watching.
Yeah.
Find us everywhere. If you're listening, you might not want to watch.
So when you're sitting at home, get the telly on, you're thinking, what should we watch? I don't know. There's so much stuff. You think, let's go to YouTube and watch Holy Baptist's latest sermon. Exactly what you want to watch.
Or when you've got that long car journey, you don't know what to listen to.
Yeah. There you go.
So there you go. So I think there we are about done.
I think so.
Oh, the other thing is, of course, you could always find us in the room if you wanted to.
Oh, yeah, join us on Sunday.
Yeah, so if you don't know, we're based in Hawley Baptist Church, and you can come along. We meet at 9:30 and at 11:15 every Sunday. Two services are identical, and we'd love to see you.
Yeah, if you're feeling old school and you want to go not digital.
That's not digital, actually go to church.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's been great. Thank you, Daz.
Thank you, Angie.
And someone will see you next week.
Yeah.
Take
Goodbye.
Care.
That is it for today's episode. Well done for joining us and making it here to the end. Hopefully you feel slightly encouraged at least, or that you want to follow Jesus just that little bit more closely. You can join us in the room on a Sunday, but if that's too big of a next step for you, did you know you could also join us online for a video feed to one of our morning services? Do get in contact with us if you'd like to find out how you can do that. If you've got any questions about what you've heard today or about anything that's to do with following Jesus and just church lives, things we might be able to help you with, we've got an email address just for you. It's gotquestions@hawleybaptist.org.uk. We'd love to hear from you there. Don't forget to share this. If you've enjoyed it, somebody else might do too. Share it with your friends. If you want to keep up to date with all that we do, hit that subscribe button to maintain that link with us and all that we produce. You can find it as well, links to these different things, on hawleybaptist.org.uk/media as well. Thank you for joining us again. We pray God blesses you, and we will look forward to you joining us next time.